Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Marijuana may be legal in California, but that can conflict with drug testing at work. A new law is changing that with the goal of protecting workers who use cannabis off the clock. According to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML for short, California has become the seventh state to create worker protections for marijuana use. The bill was signed into law by Governor Newsom this month, which prohibits certain employers from punishing employees who test positive for marijuana use outside of work hours. That's because THC can remain in a person's system for days, even weeks. The bill received support from labor unions and opposition from groups representing employer organizations. The Chamber of Commerce argued that, quote, marijuana use is not the same as protecting workers against discrimination based on race or national origin. To discuss what this law means and doesn't mean is the director of California's NORML chapter, Dale Garinger. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with the history of NORML because it spans a couple decades.
Well, it's more than that. California NORML goes back 50 years. 50 years ago, in fact, in 1972, California had the very first initiative to legalize marijuana, the California Marijuana Initiative. And the group that organized that, which was actually called Amorphia, after the initiative, formed California NORML. So we've been around for 50 years. I have to say that the California Marijuana Initiative got 30% of the vote in 1972, but that was actually considered impressive enough at the time to decriminalize marijuana, which the legislature did with our lobbying assistance in 1975. So, and we've been involved in the medical marijuana fight and the more recent legalization issues as well.
Yeah. California was the first state to legalize medical marijuana and among the first states to legalize recreational marijuana back in 2016. Why did employer drug testing, why didn't it update alongside these new laws?
Well, we thought, in fact, when we passed the Medical Marijuana Initiative in 1996, that it did. But there was a lawsuit where an employee was fired after being hired by a telecommunications company, actually, was given a drug test, failed the drug test and said, hey, well, I'm a medical marijuana user. My doctor says I can use it and you shouldn't be firing me for this. That case, known as Ross versus Raging Wire Telecommunications, went to the California Supreme Court, which ruled no. Prop 215 did not protect people from using medical marijuana because medical marijuana was not a federally approved drug, basically. And then right after that, the legislature actually passed a bill to try to overturn that decision. This is in 2008. But Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed the bill. And then the issue's just been sloshing around ever since. We had the legalization measure, Prop 64 in 2016, but that measure said this initiative does not change employment law in any way. So everything was still hanging out there, and we, you know, came back and decided to expand the original medical marijuana protection bill to adult use in general, as some other states and cities have done, and the legislature finally did so this year.
So now we have this new law, but you're talking about really like two decades of employment law that was created prior to new laws legalizing medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. What have been the consequences?
Well, of what?
For employees in this time period, this 25-year time period.
We get called, we did have in the past, at least, getting calls all the time from people who get fired. They might have already been hired and they have some harmless incident on the job that could be somebody else's fault, but they automatically drug test people on the job and they're found to have test positive for marijuana, and they're automatically fired. Lots of people are screened out in pre-employment drug tests. In fact, I am told that that's a major cause of worker shortages presently in both the trucking and the construction industry from people involved in employment agencies there. Somewhere on the order of, I'd say, about 20% of all employers routinely do these pre-employment drug tests that mainly catch marijuana. And why do they mainly catch marijuana? Because marijuana remains detectable for much longer than any other drug, usually days to weeks after last use. Although this depends on what kind of testing you're doing. Mm.
You know, you mentioned back in 2008, there was a bill that was passed. Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed it. But there was also an attempt last year to get a similar bill passed, but it died. And at this point, recreational marijuana was legal. What were the challenges to overcome?
It did not die last year. The bill last year was actually sponsored by Assemblyman Bill Quirk, who sponsored this year's bill. And he saw it as a two-year bill at the time, but reintroduced it this year.
I see.
It took a long time to actually negotiate with all of the there are a lot of interested parties here, both on the manufacturing side and on the labor side. And there are always a lot of legal details that you have to hash out with different parties in the legislature. So it took 2 years to hammer it out.
So following all of these negotiations, what does this new law accomplish?
Well, the new law, first of all, establishes that workers cannot be fired simply for using marijuana legally while off the job, which is the case for any other. Under current California law, workers have a right to engage in legal activity while not on the job, but this hasn't applied to marijuana until now. So now that applies. So theoretically, under the current law that's about to go out, if you just say to your boss, "I use marijuana," that is in fact legal justification for them to fire you. Not that that happens. They usually do drug tests instead. But the drug tests that they use are tests that don't actually detect impairment. They are what we call metabolite tests. Metabolite tests detect residues of drug use that stay in the system long after the active effects have faded. They don't actually detect THC. Yeah, everybody knows THC is what's in marijuana that makes you high. But after you smoke or take marijuana, your body converts this THC into other chemicals. And those chemicals or metabolites are what are detected by the most common kind of drug test, which is urine tests. Hair tests also do this. We don't hear so much about hair testing. Hair testing detects use months after you've taken the drug. But this bill specifically outlaws the use of urine testing or metabolite testing in general for employment concerns. It does allow the use of other kinds of tests to determine whether somebody is actually under the influence of marijuana on the job. And there are other ways of doing this. One form that's coming into increasing use actually are like computer-based impairment tests, where you go to a keyboard and do some tasks and they test your reaction time and attentiveness and so forth. And these have the advantage of detecting impairment from any kind of drug, legal or illegal, and even if you're impaired for other reasons, psychological reasons, or you know, you're sick that day or something, and where these have been employed in some very safety sensitive industries with a good deal of success. Aside from that, the classic way of determining whether somebody is under the influence of marijuana right now has been to do a blood test for THC when THC generally stays in the blood for a short time, a few hours. But of course, it's hard to do blood tests on a routine basis unless there's an accident on the job and there's blood on the floor. But there's newer technologies are oral swab tests where you just wipe your mouth out with a swab, and that also detects the presence of THC, again, for a few hours after use. So this is a much more reasonable window for determining whether somebody is actually under the influence of marijuana on the job. And those kinds of tests would still be available to employers.
Okay, great. So employers have tools available to test for impairment while on the clock. But there are exemptions to this new law for certain industries, industries like building and construction trades, as well as companies tied to federal contracts and funding. So can you unpack who and what is exempt from this law?
Sure. Anybody who is required by federal law to do drug testing, we have to exempt. California can't override federal law. And that includes actually a very significant industry, the transportation industry, interstate truckers and airlines and railroads and all of that sort of stuff. Although there is a move now, even there, for the federal government to allow alternatives to urine testing. So we hope that will change. The other big exemption in the bill is for the construction industry. The reason for this is that the union for the construction industry, the Construction Trades Council of California, insisted on being exempted from the bill because they said it would interfere with all sorts of existing contracts that they had made with various employers, and it would muddy the waters or something like that. So at the insistence of the unions that represented the construction trades, we exempted them in the bill. Although I hear that actually a lot of construction unions now, having seen this bill pass, are sort of interested in following this policy anyhow. So I expect that as time goes on, you will see an end to drug testing in that industry too. Let me add, finally, that the bill does not take effect until January 1st, 2024, in order to allow employers to adjust, basically, give them time.
Oh, so 2024. Okay, so that is a good...
2024,
yes. Yeah, that's more than a year from now. So that was going to be my next question. You know, so now that this bill becomes law in about, you know, a year and a half, I mean, so there aren't really any retroactive protections until that start date, or are there?
No, although I expect that employers will be starting to move in that direction sooner rather than later. Some employers are already or have been giving up on drug testing just because of legalization in California and a growing number of other states. Amazon, you may have noticed, recently ended drug testing for all of their workers. So we expect that to continue, but legally, the law does not take effect for another year.
What recourse, if any, would employees have who have been harmed by this type of drug testing in the past now that there is a new law that's going to be become effective in 2024? Is there any recourse?
No, there's nothing.
It's just moving forward. Got it. What consequences, how will enforcement look like? What consequences will employers face for not following this new law?
Well, basically, they can be taken to court through a state agency. This is a law operates under what's called the Fair Employment and Housing Act in California, which covers a whole bunch of workers' rights, basically, including like the right to use legal prescription drugs is protected under FEHA. And so marijuana has just been added along with legal prescription drugs and many other things that are protected under that act. And it basically allows the employee who feels they've been discriminated against to go to the state and file a complaint against the employer. And then the state carries the cost of pursuing that investigation.
Do you see more states which have legalized cannabis following suit, given that California is the seventh state to do so?
Well, yes. I'm sorry it took California this long, although I must say the bill that we just passed, and I think is one of the strongest bills that is out there. There are at least 20 states that recognize some degree of protection for medical marijuana users, which, as I say, California has not so far done. But they would, of course, be included in our bill. Nevada, New York State, Connecticut, and a few other states have implemented, New Jersey have implemented these laws for adult use. And I expect we will see more of these in the future, especially since California covers so many employees. And I think that corporations that have offices in California will probably consider following similar policies elsewhere.
Finally, Dale, as you said, Normal's been around in California for some 50 years. What's next in terms of cannabis advocacy?
We're still concerned about the inadequacy of the legal market in California, where we still have all sorts of illegal operators in business, mainly because there are way too few legal outlets in California. It's too expensive and costly to get these licensed. We now have fewer than half as many legally licensed dispensaries 4 years after licensing took effect than we had medical marijuana dispensaries operating before they did. So there's a lot of glitches and hangups in the regulatory system that we'd like to see cleared up. And then there's been the issue of taxes. And the taxes make legal marijuana a lot more expensive than illegal marijuana, which is a big problem. I'm happy to say that the governor this year signed a bill to eliminate one of the most cumbersome taxes on marijuana, which was a cultivation tax that the farmer had to pay before even selling their crop to a middleman. That tax has been abolished effectively for the next few years. We'd like to see more progress in that direction, and we would like to see more local licensing of legal outlets where people can get cannabis. But I think to really solve the problem in California, because we need to have national legalization, because California has been exporting most of our marijuana crop as long as I can remember. And that's still true today. Probably two or three times, California produces three or four times as much marijuana as Californians themselves consume. And the rest of it goes to other states that don't have legal marijuana. And of course, this is illegal marijuana that's coming from California, but it's there's no law currently allowing licensed cannabis growers to export. So all of it's so it's basically the same situation as we had before legalization. We have most growers are supplying the interstate market, which is illegal. And, this has been going on since the 60s and will continue to go on until the federal government allows interstate commerce.
Still work to do and things still in limbo. Thank you so much, Dale, for the conversation.
Thank you.
Dale Gehringer is the director of California's Normal chapter. Up next, a tireless advocate for Stockton's unhoused community passed away this month. The son of Bill Mendelson joins us to share his father's legacy of helping the Central Valley's homeless community for more than three decades. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.